May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 52. The gospel brings tidings to each wounded soul, that Jesus the Saviour can make it quite whole. And what makes this gospel most precious to me, it holds forth salvation so perfectly free. Hymn number 52.
To read together the Gospel according to St. Luke, part of chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We'll commence reading at verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us each prayer. O Lord God Almighty, do teach us to pray. Lord, do indite in our heart those living petitions. Leave us not to a few well-worn phrases, just uttered with the lips. O Lord, we need thee. We are wretched, undone sinners. Without thee we can do nothing. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. O Lord, let thy mercy come even unto us, even thy salvation. As we are gathered here in thy house, through thy mercy, and it is all of thy mercy we are here, look thou upon us and be merciful to us, as thou usest to do, unto those that love thy name. Look not upon us because we are black. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. O, we plead the name, the blood, the righteousness of thy dear Son. Oh, may it indeed be he instead of us is seen as we approach to God. For Lord, if thou wert strict to mark iniquity, who should stand? But oh, we pray to know that thy dear Son stood in the breach. Lord, he could stand, he did stand, and we bless thee for it. Lord, we pray then, do even now stand at the right hand of the poor to deliver him from those that would condemn his soul. O Lord, stand by this poor sinner in the pulpit, and the poor sinners in the pew. Lord, may we lose sight of ourselves and each other, and see no man save Jesus only, yon lovely man. O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold those wondrous things. Out of thy law, the blessed person and work of thy dear Son. His name is wonderful. Oh, may it be so tonight. Holy Spirit of truth, make the name of Jesus wonderful to thy people here. Lord, oh, we pray to be delivered from all our carnality and all our unbelief and all our sin and all our infirmities. Oh, we bless thee for that truth we've read, that thou, Lord Jesus, was not sent to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, may we be called to repentance this evening, and to look upon thee whom we have pierced, and to mourn for thee, and to be in bitterness as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Do make us, Lord, really hate sin. O Lord, do make us to grieve for grieving thee. And Lord, even more solemn, Lord, if indeed thou didst die for us, make us to grieve for piercing thee, was the hymn writer put it. The soldier pierced his side, 'tis true, but we have pierced him through and through. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst lead us into these profound mysteries. And blessed Spirit of truth, assure us of our part in the Redeemer's blood. Oh, do give that living faith. Oh, remember thy waiting people. Oh, even now, Lord, in prayer they are waiting upon thee, as thou dost help them so to do. Oh, may they even this evening be favoured to renew their strength, to mount up with wings as eagles. Oh, those that feel to be so clogged with the mire of this earth, whose souls cleave to the dust, who fain would rise up, but they haven't got the power. But Lord, thou hast the power. Thou didst say, Lord Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, put forth thy resurrection power upon us. The Lord, we pray that thou wouldst direct each of us in our steps. Now thou hast said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord is able to hold him up. O Lord, do direct all our steps. In thy grace and in thy providence, O conduct, blessed Spirit, each one of us to Calvary. Oh, may our steps be directed there. And Lord, then on to the empty tomb. And then, Lord, by faith, to thy right hand, where thy Son sitteth. Lord, that we may see Jesus, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. O Lord, we pray for the reality of these things. Lord, the experience. Oh, Holy Spirit of truth, direct our steps. And Lord, if there be any here this evening, and they, Lord, need thee to direct their steps in providence, this church and people here, help them to wait upon God, to wait for God, who orders the steps of his people. Lord, thou art that same God who did so wonderfully direct Abraham's servant to the finding of the right wife for Isaac. And it was so clearly shown by thee, Lord, that it was said, the thing proceeded from the Lord. Oh, do favour this people with thy clear leadings. Lord, do not let us go on our own course. Do not let us go in our own thoughts. But Lord, only thou canst lead a man aright. Thy thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are thy ways our ways. Lord, lead us then in thy way. We pray, Lord, for afflicted ones. Thou was in mercy, graciously heal them if it might please thee. And if affliction must remain, and as long as it must remain, the Lord, do help in it, sanctify it. It may work together for good. Lord, only thou canst make it to do so. Lord, we pray for thy people. Do them good in thy way thou seest best. Remember aged ones. Lord, we plead for them. Thou wouldst grant them the much needed grace. As the grasshopper becomes a burden, the faculties fail, the mind, the body, the sight, the hearing, the taste. Lord, thy word speaks of it all. Oh, we pray. Bless thy people with that strong consolation. We know, oh Lord, do not leave us to assume it, but grant that knowledge. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Oh, what a blessed faith that was that thou didst give Job. That his Redeemer, he knew that his Redeemer lived, that he would stand in the latter day, and that he would see him. Not afar off, but nigh. Oh, we ask for that favour for thy dying people. A glimpse by faith of the King in his beauty, the land that is a very far off. Be with any this night who cannot get to thy house, affliction, caring for children, and other lawful hindrances. Be with them where they are. And if there are any who could be here, but they're not, oh Lord, make them feel the misery of forsaking the assembling of themselves together. Look upon Zion in these solemn days. Oh, we pray for the outpouring of thy Spirit. We need to be convinced of our sin. We need to be led in the paths of righteousness. Lord, we need the power of the blood of Jesus Christ made over unto us. There might be that blessed grace given. Oh, that thou wouldst cleanse us from everything that grieves thee and causes thee to withhold the showers. We thank thee that it is not altogether so. But Lord, oh, what dry things we often feel to be. And Lord, how just it is. Oh, but we plead. Oh, forsake us not. We would pray, let thy word, thy doctrine drop us the rain. Oh, Lou, we pray, grant thy garden, thy church, the showers of blessing. Thy garden may once again flourish. bear the fruits of godly fear, godly faith, godly repentance, hope and love, and godliness in walk and in conversation. There might be that separation from the world by the power of the gospel. Nothing else can do it, Lord. Oh, help us. Remember our families. We thank thee for all thy mercy. Do show mercy, yet we pray. Quicken the dead and maintain the living. And call in thy dead elect, we pray. And help thy people throughout the world in every situation they are found in tonight. Forgive all our sin and all we ask amiss. Make up where we so fail in asking. Bless us with thankfulness for every mercy. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 281. The Lord will happiness divine on contrite hearts bestow. Then tell me, gracious God, is mine a contrite heart or no? Hymn 281.
Thank you.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 5, verse 20. Luke chapter 5, verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Was it not Peter we read of in the Acts of the Apostles? He said, Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him all that believe are justified from all things they could not be justified by the law of Moses. What a unspeakably profound, indescribable, and most precious blessing is the blessing of forgiveness. The people that heard Jesus say this, but did not know that Jesus was God, rightly said, Who can forgive sins but God only? Well, they didn't realize was that God can only forgive sins through this man who veiled his Godhead, who though he was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Jesus was to die for this man. You know, there could be no forgiveness of sin without the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is infinitely just, his law must be fulfilled. And oh, what grace, what love, what mercy to send his dear Son to fulfill that law for his people, to be obedient even unto death. He said, didn't he? I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And the Holy Spirit evidently had been at work in the heart of this man and in the heart of his friends. Because the Holy Ghost records that Jesus, when he looked upon them, lowering their friend into the room where he was, he saw their faith. You know, if we have the faith of God's elect, He sees it. No one else might see it. And yet in this case, if others had their eyes open to discern things rightly, their faith could be seen in what they did. And you know that's often the way the Lord's people discern whether there is faith in others. What that faith does. The word tells us faith works by love. It is such a powerful grace, this faith in God, this faith in Jesus Christ. It brought Ruth right up out of Moab. It brought Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. And it brought this man and his friends with urgency. You know, there are times when the Lord gives an urgent faith. The hymn writer says, doesn't he? Mine's an urgent, pressing case. Has yours ever been? It isn't always so. They that are without changes, fear not God. I do not say is yours always an urgent pressing case. Has it ever been? Is it tonight an urgent pressing case? What will make it to you an urgent pressing case? The realization. There might not be a tomorrow. The word of God tells us, doesn't it, boast not of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Another thing that makes it an urgent case. You don't feel you can bear the weight of your sin or whatever else it is that is burdening you. You don't feel you can bear it any longer. You feel that you've come to the end. And if the Lord do not save you now, today, oh, you fear you'll be utterly crushed and eternally perish. And how mysterious the circumstances of this man's pardon, that is the receiving of it. You know, when we read the Word of God and see the various cases of the Lord's people and the differing ways in which the Lord brought his people to himself and administered his mercy and his grace to them. We are fools if we compare ourselves among ourselves. We are fools if we try to lay down lines in which the Lord will always work. Was it Huntingdon said, Jehovah will not move in lines chalked out by a worm? Jesus was in that house. You know, the faith the Lord gives his people is tried. Tried. It's proved. But if your faith is of God, the more it is tried, eventually the more it will shine. Sometimes a trial initially seems to dash our faith. But then the Lord, because he is determined to save us, He strengthens our faith. And how strengthened these people's faith was by the Lord. When they found a crowd about the house, they sought means to get their friend to Jesus. But they could not find means till the Holy Spirit directed them to get up on the roof. You say, does the Holy Spirit get involved in such details as that? Yes. Yes. Every single detail. Perhaps some of you this evening can look back and say, yes, the Holy Spirit does. He directed me to that place that day where the Lord blessed me. He directed me to read that chapter of the Word of God. He directed the Lord's servant to preach from that text. I was brought into that circumstance in my life. Oh, but my dear friend, above all else, what a favoured person you are and I am if we can say the Holy Spirit has directed us so that he caused us to take that step which brought us to Jesus. That's how we can be sure that the Holy Ghost was behind them and in front of them and with them as they got up onto the roof of that house and took up the tiling. For the benefit of the young ones, perhaps, I just remind you that, of course, in that land, the roofs were not like our roofs, the roofs of our houses, pitched. They were flat roofs. Very often people went up on the roof. The Word of God gives command for the one that builds a house to erect that guard around the roof, lest anyone fall off. Well then, so it was that this man was brought right to Jesus. And you see, what a point of teaching there is there. Faith will never stop short of Jesus. That's the proof of the faith of God's elect. They will never leave a sinner to stop short of Jesus. Because that faith is in him. These people won't come along to this place to see the people. They were come to this place for a purpose. How did you come to this place this evening? You know, when a person comes to the house of God, if they come rightly, they're coming to God. And the way God is approachable is by the person of his dear Son. The hymn might have said, didn't he? What is the house to me, unless the Master there I see? Well, so it was that this faith that these people were given, the man and his friends, that faith brought them to Jesus when he saw their faith. Oh, how closely, if I may put it like that, how closely Jesus saw their faith. We know the being omnipotent, omniscient God, knowing all things and having all power. In one sense, everything is close to him. To the ends of the earth he can look. But you see, what I'm speaking of is that when the Lord Jesus sees a person come right to him, his drawing power has been put forth and it has brought them right to him. The person. Some people's faith is proven to be not the faith of God's elect, because that faith stops at the chapel building. It stops at the doctrines of the Word of God. It stops at the letter of the Word of God. But that is stopping short of salvation. In the house of God to find Jesus. In the Word of God to find Jesus. Among the Lord's people to find Jesus. I mentioned Ruth just now, how that faith brought her right up out of the land of Moab. And what was the testimony of her soul? Did she say she just wanted to be with Naomi? She wanted to be with Naomi for one reason. Naomi's God. Well, this faith then brought this man. We might notice just briefly that bodily affliction was used of God in this case. It isn't in every case, but it is in some cases. And bodily affliction alone will not bring a sinner to Christ. But the Lord in his purposes and in his good pleasure, in his sovereignty, he sometimes uses bodily affliction. To bring a sinner to a sense of their sin and ruin, a sense of the death that is upon them, the death that they are in. The solemn position before God was there given by the renewing, quickening work of the Spirit in the new birth and his conviction to see and realize that as the order in which Jesus healed this man here clearly sets forth, my biggest trouble is not my affliction. My biggest trouble is my sin. You remember a time in your life, before that you had bodily afflictions. And perhaps you prayed. The Lord may have heard you and answered your prayer. You prayed to be healed. You prayed to be better. For the Lord to make you better, to recover you. But did there come a time in your life when that wasn't the first thing you prayed for when you were sick? You prayed, Lord, let this affliction do my soul good. In this affliction, Lord, bless my soul with forgiveness. Bless my soul with thy salvation. Do not let me come out of this affliction like I went into it. Because you see, if you're afflicted and the Lord heals your body, and he doesn't do anything for your soul, you come out of that affliction as you went into it. no good has been done. You see, the Lord says in his word by his servant, the prophet, the apostle, we know that all things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Man. There is forgiveness for men. There isn't for angels. Angels, of course, are the only other part of God's creation other than man that commit sins. The devils are angels that have fallen from their first estate. They have sinned against their creator. There is no forgiveness for them. My dear friend, sensible sinner here this evening, that is the sinner that is sensible of their need of forgiveness. In this blessed truth, there is hope for you because you're a man. You're not a devil. Ah, you may feel to be a devil. Satan's image, born, but you're not a devil. You're a man. Man. The purpose of God. He made man in his own image. Holy, upright. Having an immortal soul. And it is a purpose. When God created man, it was his purpose that from that human race there should be a number that no man could number, who should be brought into blessed oneness with God. This people, these men, I have formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Undoubtedly, the angels, the elect angels, will show forth his praise. They did at his birth, at Jesus' birth, didn't they? And on other occasions in the Word of God, we read of it. And then regarding heaven, we read of the angels looking into those things of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, wondering at them. But an angel will never glorify God like a saved sinner will. Because a saved sinner is saved because their creator took their nature, the nature of man, without sin, into union with himself. Paul writes in his epistle to the Hebrews, doesn't he? He took not on him the nature of angels. He took on him the seed of Abraham. Because the seed of Abraham are men. He took on him the nature of man without sin. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. It is spoken by this blessed man. It is spoken with divine power. We must as the Lord enable us ever contend for this. And my dear friend, you must, child of God, and you will, if God give you that faith, you must hold to this, that when Jesus spake with the lips and the tongue of a man, he spake with divine power. Everything he did in his sacred holy humanity was endued with divine power. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. This then is, as I see it, the significant thing, the first significant thing in the way Jesus addressed this person, man. But then you see, the second thing about that was this. He didn't say, men, thy sins are forgiven thee. He said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Whenever the Lord forgives sins, he doesn't do it to more than one. You may say, haven't there been times when a congregation, yes, there have been times when a congregation, you think of that congregation of Philippi, when in answer to the jailer's question, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And they preached unto him and his house the word of God, and the jailer believed, and all his house. Yes. But Jesus said it to everyone in that congregation individually. To every one of them he said, man, and if you have this faith that this man had, if you have this faith that his friends had, this is what you're looking for. This is what you're waiting for. This is what you're hoping for. When will he come unto me? When will he speak to me? Will he ever? Faith believes he has that blessing of forgiveness to give. And faith comes to him, asking him that he will do it. Asking him that he will show mercy on me. Asking him that he will convey to my soul this blessing of forgiveness. Man, thy sins. Everyone that has this faith has it given to them because their eyes have been opened in some measure to see their sins. And my dear friend, that stops us talking about other people's sins. It stops us pointing our finger at other people's sins. And it certainly stops us thinking that other people are worse than us. It makes us feel to be the worst. There's a way in which a sinner can graciously disagree with Paul. Paul said, of sinners of whom I'm chief. Have you ever, my dear friend, been brought to look all around the world and say, no, I'm chief? You know, it's a solemn thing when you're a professor of God's name, when you come into the house of God And the Lord so convinces you of sin that look where you were across this world, where you will across this world, you can't find a worse sinner than you. Why is it you feel that, child of God? Because God, the Holy Spirit, shows you sins in you and the heinousness of them. And very often the realization that I have made a profession of God's name, and that makes my condition worse. I know better, but I am not better. When you feel that because of the profession you've made, the sin you've committed, the hottest place in hell is reserved for you. You know, the Word of God speaks of degrees of damnation. Jesus himself spoke of the damnation of some being greater than that of others. Oh, what a solemn feeling it is. What an awful feeling to feel that yours will be the greatest because you're feelingly a greater sinner. But Jesus said, man, thy sins. Wherever sin's filth and guilt is felt, that person has not committed a sin that is unpardonable. That person has not committed a number of sins that are too great to be pardoned. Oh, how kind God is that in his word he says all manner of sin and of blasphemy should be forgiven unto men. Man, thy sins. Remember, my dear friend, that though you feel something of your sinnership, something of it so that you feel to be the chiefest, you don't know but a fraction of it. If you knew your sins like Jesus knows them, that weight would crush you. You could not bear it. Remember that the thought of foolishness is sin, the omission to do what God commands is sin. Oh, the catalogue. Man, thy sins. Is there a sinner here tonight? And you are greatly tried. You are greatly tempted. Especially when perhaps at moments you consider how sin was forgiven. That is, how the way was made for the forgiveness of sins. And you think about your sins, and perhaps, as it usually is, some particular sin or some particular sins appear to you to be especially heinous, awful, And you feel, surely God would not impute that sin, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, blasphemy. Surely he would not impute that sin to his dear son. Why are you saying surely he wouldn't? Is it not because you are thinking of God as you would of man? The word of God says, surely he has done it. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Is the one denied like Peter, who's turned to their own way? And will they can say, yet forgive? But Isaiah said, and he hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all, thy sins. Are thy sins beyond recounting? Yes. Like the sand the ocean laves? Yes. Jesus is of life the fountain, he unto the utmost saves. But is there a sinner here this evening, and the question in your mind is, why would he forgive? Why would he forgive? The answer is love. God so loved the world. And oh, how graciously the Holy Spirit puts it. He so loved the world. We must always look at Scripture as a whole. If you look at Scripture as a whole, that word, he so loved the world, doesn't mean he loved everyone, every man in this world. Beware, my dear friend, of taking one Scripture and making a judgment on a certain point, looking at that Scripture in isolation. That's the way errors come about. That's the way we go astray so often. But then look at the blessedness. He so loved the world. That answers the question, doesn't it? Why would God, why would Jesus forgive my sins? Can I be one of his people? I don't bear any marks of grace. I'm not a godly person. I'm a sinner. God so loved the world. Love is the foundation of everything God is and everything he does for his people. And nothing more so than in this matter of forgiveness. And doesn't this faith that God gives his people, doesn't this faith see this? You know, when you see by faith that God forgives sinners in his great love, an infinite love, a love which is as strong as death, that brings you rightly to Jesus. If you're looking for him to forgive your sins because of any other reason, that's not the true and the living faith. Thy sins. when he said, thy sins, he was speaking of all of them. All of them. This truth, when it is believed, brings a sinner to him in all their sin, including that unbelief, including that hardness of heart, including all those guilty fears and guilty doubts. Thy sins. That man who came to Jesus by faith concerning the case of his lunatic son, he came in faith, but he was conscious of his unbelief. But the faith that he had caused him to come to Jesus for the salvation from his unbelief. Thy sins. He's the one here this evening. You cannot deny that there is something of what the Holy Ghost in his word sets forth as faith in your heart. That there are times when from the bottom of your heart you cry unto the Lord, Jesus, have mercy on me. Pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. But even while you're praying that, you got a voice within saying he won't. He won't. What is that? It's your unbelief. When he said, thy sins, he was speaking of all of them. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Are forgiven. The Lord here is giving the sentence of it. In the mind of God, the sins of the church have been forgiven from the very beginning. From eternity past, when God chose this people in his dear Son. They are forgiven. They are forgiven because God eternally decreed it should be so. They are forgiven because God has spared not his only dear Son, his begotten Son. They are forgiven because the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed. They are forgiven because he cried out, it is finished. Now this blessing of forgiveness. As God has afflicted his Son, the chastisement of his people's peace upon his dear Son, the sin is forgiven. God has been satisfied with regard to those sins. Atonement has been made. An infinite sacrifice has been offered. The Son of God in his infinite eternal person took into union with himself perfect, holy humanity. And that life he took, he's laid down. Where's the infinity, you say? The infinity. infinity of that offering is in that it was the humanity of the glorious divine person of the Son of God. The union. And that was an unbreakable union. The moment of his death, the moment when he laid down that life, the holy soul of Emmanuel, in union with his deity, is immediately in heaven. And the holy body of the Emmanuel, in union with his deity, is taken down from the cross and laid in the grave. 3 days later, he takes it again. The union was never broken. Could not be. That day when Christ was crucified, the mighty God Jehovah died an ignominious death. The hymn writer did not mean that God and his deity died. No. God is one, three persons. It is a second person in the Trinity who died, and that in his sacred holy humanity. There is the doctrine of forgiveness. That is the doctrine of how God can forgive. His Son bore those sins. He bore that curse. He endured the piercing of the sword of his Father. He offered himself without spot to God. And this blessed person says to this man, thy sins are forgiven. To have it from his own mouth. To be told by God himself, thy sins are forgiven. You know, if you're asking the question, how shall I know that mine are forgiven? And a child of God is often exercised about this for years before they get it. And after they have received it, though it's never lost, they may lose it with regard to the experience of it. But how will they know? The seeking, trembling, guilty sinner here tonight that asks, how will I know? Where the word of a king is, there is power. If you are burdened with your sin, you'll know when that burden is removed. If you are the guilty sinner, you'll know when that guilt is put away. If you are the one who feels in your very heart something of the wrath of God against your sin, you'll know when that wrath is lifted. And instead of a frown, a smile, as the man of God says in his word, I'll praise thee, for though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is taken away, and thy comfort is granted. Thy sins are forgiven. What does this blessing bring to the sinner? The first thing it brings is a blessed liberty from the curse of the law, a blessed peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It brings the experience that Elihu preached to Job. When thou man who was drawing near to the grave and his life to the destroyers, and the interpreter says, deliver him from going down into the pit, I found a ransom. When you've been looking for hell, my dear friend, because that is what you're convinced you deserve, and God, by forgiving your sins, delivers you. There couldn't be a greater change. The hymn writer said, I looked for hell. He gave me heaven. Thy sins are forgiven thee. The Holy Ghost, in recording why the Son of God took our nature, he says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Forgiveness silences the devil. It destroys the devil. You remember Joshua the high priest clothed in filthy garments, and the devil, the enemy, standing at his right hand, resisting him, accusing him. And the angel of the Lord said, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. The Lord of the chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Isn't this a brand plucked from the burning? Devil vex sinner here tonight. The Lord, the blessed Spirit, direct you to Jesus, even this night. Jesus, that one who was promised, as soon as man fell, the seed of the woman to bruise the serpent's head. Destroy him that had the power of death. Forgiveness destroys the devil. In a child of God's experience, I don't mean they'll never be plagued again, but when the blessing of forgiveness is maintained, when it is experienced in the soul, the devil is silenced. But then the other thing, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. If you're a sensible sinner and have got the guilt of your sin upon you. And I seem to have to speak like this now. A sinner perhaps here tonight and you say, my sin is I don't feel my sin. My sin is my hardness. But what is the effect of it? Do you feel condemned because of it? Would you be rid of it? You say, may I come to Jesus feeling like I do? Well, remember that word in Isaiah. The great trumpet shall be blown that proclaims forgiveness, that proclaims a free and a full salvation, altogether on account of what Jesus has done. The great trumpet shall be blown and they shall come which are ready to perish. If you're ready to perish, the gospel trumpet says, come with a power that brings you. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You fear to meet your Maker. You fear to stand before him whose eyes are as a flame of fire. When no mask, no covering will remain, you'll be naked before him. Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. My mercy, my grace, they're forgiven thee because I died for thee, having lived for thee. They're forgiven thee through my precious blood. You know, when a man, a woman, a boy or a girl is forgiven, they're free. Deliver them who through fear of death wore their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, forgiveness is a foretaste of heaven. Those favoured people around the throne in heaven tonight, they were sinners once like you, but a full salvation found. Forever and ever they will be favoured to know forgiveness. There will never be guilt in heaven. There will never be fear. There will never be dread of God in heaven. The Lamb that is in the midst of the throne, his garments dyed in blood, leads them to the fountain of living waters, and God wipes all tears from their faces. When he saw their faith, that single eye, that blessed, powerful principle that the Holy Ghost had wrought in them, that faith in one person, they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, no one can fully describe what faith is. What vast works have been written to attempt to describe it? They never got to the bottom of it. The mystery of the faith, the Word of God speaks of it. You can't produce it. And when it is given you, you can't altogether describe it. But what does it cause you to do, child of God? It brings you to Jesus in complete dependence upon him. Stripped of all their fancied meekness to approach the dread I am. They are led to see all meekness, centering in the worthy Lamb and adoring. Blessed is Godhead, blood and name. And when he saw their faith, he said unto the man, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Amen.
God willing, Mr. Roland Wheatley will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. John Rosier on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 180. Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross, that alone be all our glory. All things else are dung and dross. Thee we own a perfect Saviour, only source of all that's good. Every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. Hymn 180.
Thank you.
thank thee for thy word. We ask that thy blessing may rest upon it. That some poor sinner, even this evening, may be blessed with thy forgiveness to the glory of thy name forever and ever. Pardon all that has been of self. May thy word live. Let all that is of self die. Keep us safe. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.